Now, some reaction to the Senate health care bill from the American Medical Association, which actually endorsed the bill yesterday. Joining us is the AMA's president-elect, Dr. Cecil Wilson, a Florida internist. Welcome to the program,
Jim. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Some of the features of the Senate bill that you've cited approvingly are increasing payments to doctors in underserved areas, not cutting payments to other doctors, not taxing cosmetic surgery. All those provisions would suggest that we're on track to keep spending just as much money on health care in the future as we do now, if not more.
Well, that list were things that were problems for us in the original bill, which the Senator Reid's manager's amendment took out. I think the bigger story is the fact that we're going to cover millions of people who do not have insurance and therefore at risk of being sicker and dying sooner. We're also, for those who have insurance, who are a pink slip away from losing their job, losing the insurance, we're going to solve that with reform so that there's no pre-existing condition, there are no lifetime caps on coverage. So I think those are the things that I think are the important story here.
But doesn't there come a point when, if we're going to actually reduce the nation's health care bill, then doctors, hospitals, laboratories will have to, at some point, make less money than they do now?
Well, cost is a challenge. What we're trying to do is to make care more rational. And to do that, we believe that covering people, and so they have, for example, a primary care physician, they can have continuity of care, they can get care at what's called a medical home rather than going to an emergency room where the care is the most expensive. So you're absolutely right. We do have to get a handle on, to be sure we're getting our money's worth.
In July, I asked your predecessor, Dr. James Rohack, about the absence of a plan to address medical liability and malpractice, which is a perennial concern of the AMA. He said, and I'm quoting him, "It's too early to say we're not going to play anymore. We believe, like a baseball game, we're in the second inning." That was July. I assume the AMA agrees we're in the ninth inning at this point. What do you make of the absence of malpractice litigation reform in this bill?
Well, we do agree. We think we're getting closer to the goal line. We continue to believe that an important part of health system reform is liability reform, and we know that experience has shown that caps on non-economic damages and on contingency fees is a way to control the cost. It doesn't get, though, at the defensive medicine, the fear physicians have of going to court and therefore ordering things that maybe they would not otherwise do that. So we are looking at a variety of alternatives like medical courts, so-called I'm sorry laws, the kind of arrangement where if a physician uses scientifically based performance measures, they have some protection in court. And actually, both the House bill and the Senate bill, we believe, does push liability reform forward.
I want to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Umdenstock, the president of the American Hospital Association. The bill that came out of the Senate, in the view of liberal advocates of a single-payer system, is an almost pointless compromise that doesn't do enough. In the view of Republicans, who nearly unanimously have opposed it, it's the hugest disaster to come out of Congress in all this time. In terms of sheer magnitude of the change of the health care system, as you foresee what's about to happen, how big is it? How significant a change is it?
Oh, it's big. And the thing we forget is what I alluded to earlier, and that is we're talking about millions more Americans who will have insurance so they can get the care they need they can't get now. And we will have millions more Americans who have insurance who won't have to worry about losing that insurance. That is big. And unfortunately, a lot of our conversation about some of the other issues has clouded over the reality that this is something we've been working on for a long time, and we appear to be on the cusp of making it happen.
You mean the discussions of such things as a public option or
Absolutely.
Abortion, which have not central to it as you see it. It does seem at first blush that if we're going to extend insurance to 30 million more Americans, and some of them will get a helping hand from the government, it's going to cost a lot of money.
It will cost, and I think we should not minimize that cost. But the reality is we're already paying a lot of that cost because people, when they get sick now and don't have insurance, they end up in an emergency room. They're sicker when they get there. So we're already paying a lot of that. It's just a cost-shifting kind of a measure.
Dr. Cecil Wilson, president-elect of the American Medical Association, thank you very much.
Thank you also.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.